Hi, this is Tom Payne, otherwise known as Jesus from The Walking Dead, and you're listening to The Walking Dead Talk Through.
Hi guys, this is Nadia Hilker. I'm playing Magna on The Walking Dead, and you guys are listening to The Walking Dead Talk Through. I hope you guys enjoy this podcast, and I'm sending you all my love. Bye!
Hey, survivors, and welcome to episode 99 of The Walking Dead Talk Through. I'm Brian.
And I'm Kyle.
And I'm Mark.
And welcome to those of you that have not been listening to us as Fear the Walking Dead Talk Through over the summer. We are back. You may have noticed that our logo has changed a little bit, or our artwork. That's because we are on our own brand new network called Talk Through Media, because some of you may not know this. So, so we are no longer part of Golden Spiral Media. We have branched out and become an independent network. So that may be old hat to a lot of you, since we did it over the summer months in the middle of Fear the Walking Dead. But now we are a thing on Walking Dead Talk Through. So, and if you're getting this, you may be shocked to be getting an episode at the time right after the season premiere. Well, thankfully, we're doing something we've never done before. Because AMC Premiere released the episode a week early, we are doing a first impressions episode. So it will detail our initial reactions of the season premiere. So this season premiere is called Lines We Cross, and it's written by Angela Kang and directed by Greg Nicotero, as most big episodes are. And we're not going to do any sauces. We're not going to do any ratings. Have any of us watched it more than once?
No.
No, I only watched that once.
Yep.
Okay, so this is just our first impressions. So what'd you guys think?
I liked it after being dealing with fear this whole time. It was like a whole different feeling, and just like, yeah, it was awesome.
That is why we're doing this, because we needed a palate cleanser. after the travesty that was season 5 of Fear the Walking Dead, and all of the interesting tales that we had to watch over the summer. So we wanted to do this. We're actually recording this on our normal recording night, Tuesday night, and that is just before us actually recording for the season finale. So we figured this would get up our energy a little bit. So what about you, Mark? What'd you think?
Oh, definitely a great palate cleanser after watching Fear that night. But I was all excited for the new season, and it got me hyped for the rest of the season. That's for sure. Just by what I saw.
Yeah. And to that, I would have to say my big takeaway is, I think I'm going to be saying this for a good week. So much better.
Oh, yeah.
It is so much better than Fear the Walking Dead has been this past half season. It's been at times kind of difficult to cover, I have to admit. And we've been alternating between rage and, you know, occasionally liking it, almost trying to defend it, and it
just, and then making fun of it too, right?
And making a lot of fun of it. Yeah, so listeners, you're probably hearing the episode that we haven't recorded yet already, because that'll be out on the feed before this one is. But I thought it was great. It just, so many of the problems that I've had with the fear this season. I did not feel any of those for The Walking Dead season 5. And I just, or what did I say, The Walking Dead season 5? I meant season 10, episode 1. I can't get that season. I have post-traumatic stress disorder for season 5. Anyway, no, I don't. But I thought that it was a really good episode. There's a lot of setup, I thought. Now, Mark, you and I talked a little bit about this. What's your take on the whole Soviet vehicle that crashes? Do you think that was the one from season 2 of Fear?
Yeah. Not to be too spoilery, everybody out there listening. But yeah, I think that that was the first thing that came to my mind, was that was the same craft that Strand was talking to the astronaut on.
That was on the boat. And
they were in Strand.
Oh, no, it wasn't season 2. It was season 3, right? Season 3. That's right. Yeah, season 3, episode 2, I think, of Fear, when Strand talks to a cosmonaut that's up there in space. So maybe we'll find out it's the same one, same guy. I don't know. But
well, Strand's not going to be there to identify. So
right.
Unless that's the next crossover. Yeah, I didn't necessarily think too much of any kind of connection with Fear, but now that you say that, and I mean, I thought it was kind of like interesting that it was the, you know, it was Russian. I was like, out of all the satellites that are out there, you know, of course it's going to be the Russian. But it just made me think about, like, okay, you know, with all those satellites and how long everything, you know, it's been, you know, in this world, that like that didn't happen more often. But it was cool to see, for sure.
The funny thing is, it wasn't just Russian, it was Soviet.
Because
I definitely noticed CCCP, you know, for USSR, you know.
Yeah.
Totally. Yeah. A couple little things I'd probably say in my notes. I noticed that the music wasn't just Bear McCreary anymore. There was, I think, something like Sam Ewing or something. I don't know for sure if that's the guy's name, but something like that. And I noticed several changes in the producers. Like, for example, Tom Luce, who was one of the like top executive producers, his name is gone and is replaced with somebody else. I can't remember the guy's name, but it was a name I've never seen or heard of before on the show. And then it looked like there were several different new like co-executive producers, which I guess makes sense, because like the guy that's now doing the new show, Matthew Negrete, he's not listed anymore. The Mouthful is not there anymore. David Leslie Johnson McGoldrick. Yeah, he's not there anymore. And some of the junior ones I recognize, but like Geraldine Inua and Vivian Say, I think they were listed like at the end of the credits, but I did notice a few different co-executive producers. So just cool things. The cold open with the like Roman style fighting and that was really cool, I thought. Mm-hmm.
The opening too is different now.
Yeah, I noticed that too.
How different is it?
There's the bridge.
Yeah.
And it falling and burning. I think I saw burning.
Okay.
And there was something else, but I can't remember because I only watched it.
Well, in the very, very last scene of that, but that my notes too, was like, I noticed there's three walkers going towards the windmill at the end. And the one on the right, you can see kind of like a stitching in the back. So it's like, oh, there's one that's a whisperer, then two that were like the walkers. So it was like basically, you know, pointing to
just
that.
Just aligning the threat that the whisperers are there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I thought was really cool. So
I think we might be getting new ones per episode. If anything, if the Whisperer War comes into play, which I'm sure
change it up a bit.
Yeah. They'll probably change it up a bit.
What'd you guys think of the, it seems like they're going to finally put Carol and Daryl together more. Makes me wonder, you know, like we know that Lauren Ridloff is now in Marvel. was she an Eternal? So I'm wondering if she's going to die soon. Connie.
Well, there was that whole scene when she talks to her sister.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And she was concerned about her own sister. It's like, oh, what's wrong with your hearing? That's what I remembered it.
Right.
And I'm like, wait a minute. Is this a setup for us to like miss her later on?
I wonder.
So.
Yeah. Did you notice that Ryan Hurst is in the credits and he's actually before Samantha Morton? I noticed that. Like, it seemed like a lot of setup. Then one other thing I noticed that I may not say the same thing after, you know, watching it a few more times, but it seemed like Michonne's accent changed a little bit. Like, she kept, like, saying, like, you know, you're learning, you're, like, chopping off the G on stuff. She just, her, the way she was enunciating seemed to change a little bit. I don't know.
It sounded like Jamaican, like, you're learning, you know.
No, more Southern. Southern.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was interesting. It seems like Aaron's going to have a bigger role this season.
And Negan.
He did a lot of, yeah, Negan for sure. But, I mean, no, like, it seemed like off the start, there's already, like, they're playing off of the fact that the Whisperer's been gone for so long.
Yeah.
And then, you know, everybody's kind of idea of, like, you know, like, they still are really scared about provoking them, but they don't even know if they're there. And then Aaron, of course, you know, like, he kind of is, I don't know if he's like pushing the boundaries or if he's just all like, it doesn't matter. Like, I'm kind of he's kind of going rogue, but not necessarily. Like, he wasn't listening to Michonne when they were at that bridge and he went after those walkers or whatever. Like, they killed a bunch of walkers later on that I almost kind of was like, you don't know if any of those are whispers, right. You know, but it is kind of interesting where they're like scared to death, but then at the same time, they're trying to like either talk themselves like, well, but you know, we haven't seen them, so maybe they're not even there anymore. And I don't know. It was interesting dynamic going on, the leaders and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Terrified. So it seems like Carol kind of did the Michonne thing from the comic book. She was on a boat.
Oh.
Didn't Michonne do that?
But the thing was, is when Michonne left, she left for a long time, but I don't think this was for a very long time.
Yeah. I mean, it seemed like Carol was only like gone for like, you know, just a little bit. And like, it sounded like she was like going up and down the coast or something. Kind of.
Yeah. Michonne, she was gone from the comic for a long time. There was like at least a good 4 or 5 issues where she was gone. And then she comes back into the fold. But in this case, since it was, the show's on a hiatus, we'll just mention it as she's coming back. And okay, we didn't really get to see anybody miss her.
Well, it's obvious that some time had passed.
Yeah, definitely.
Right. Well, I mean, the last we saw them, it was winter, wasn't it?
Maybe it's 2 seasons later.
Yeah. What'd you guys think about Judith? I mean, it's once great to see her, but I felt like they were highlighting her just a lot.
I think so.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely. Especially putting RJ in the forefront too.
Yeah.
And having her interact with RJ. So we know he's not, not a fake.
Yeah.
He's not a ghost.
Yeah. Cause that whole, I mean, several, myself included, wondered about him being fake or not.
Yeah.
Last season. I really liked the story that she told to RJ about Rick.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was kind of cool.
That was cute.
Yeah. It was fun to see her, like, still being a kid.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, and also there's a lot more kids, you know, we got to see, like, at Oceanside, like, you know, they went to, I guess, to go get seashells or like stuff like that. And then it was just fun to see her still be a kid, even though she was doing some walker slashing of her own, which was really cool.
Which made me kind of odd to think about this part. It's like she was kicking ass, like she's a little ass kicker, but they find the chopped face of the Zed amongst all the shells with the kids.
Yeah.
And she seemed like genuinely scared. I'm like, wait a minute, it's not like she hasn't seen anything like this before.
No.
But why would they have that reaction with her? I could see the other kids.
Well, I mean, I guess it's just, you know, Judith, depending on how much time has passed, there's just that inherent fear among the group in general about, like, these people are, you know, bad news. And I think, you know, Judith, even though she's a kid, she's definitely kind of, you know, she's Rick Grimes' kid. You know, she's right. she's like the king's, you know, like princess child, or, you know, like whatever. So it's like her status is like much more elevated than the rest of the kids. And I think she kind of knows that she's kind of got some importance in that way, which is why I think they let her use her little mini katana and kill, you know, at the whole, like, you know, Roman battlefield that they were doing.
Well, that wasn't Shane's kid or Shane's kid's response. I don't know. I'm concerned.
Good old Shane's kid. Yeah. So anything else? First impressions, thoughts?
I thought the one thing after watching Fear was they obviously have a much bigger budget, because everything looked so amazing. Like,
and clear.
Yes, and clear. Like the walkers, like at the very beginning, looked amazing. It was right. Just so, these waterlogged, and like even that one that came out at the beginning with that had that tree trunk or whatever stuck in them. I was sitting there going, oh, it's like night and day.
I wasn't going to bring this up, but since you brought up the look, did it look like they maybe changed to film and digital? Film and digital.
Yes.
It definitely, I didn't see the graininess that I've been used to on The Walking Dead. So, mind you, I only watched it on my phone, so I couldn't tell. But even on my phone, it seemed to be a lot clearer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought the same. It was like, not that I like know exactly film-wise how they do stuff, but I mean, it did seem like it had just like a different kind of not a filter, but just a look. And so, yeah, and I thought it was a lot clearer.
Yeah. And I think I did notice a new director of photography, a name I'd never seen before. I'll have to look at that stuff a little closer for our next recording. But that was the one thing I noticed. I noticed a lot of names I've never seen before on the list. And right away, the graininess that, because The Walking Dead, now Fear has been on digital the whole five seasons, but but The Walking Dead's been still shooting on 16 millimeter film. So I welcome, if they've decided to make that change this season, I welcome it, although I don't know for sure if that's true. I did notice a difference. So again, once I see it like on a bigger screen than, you know, my 6-inch phone, I'll have a better idea of that, but I'm encouraged that you guys kind of notice that too.
Yeah. I will only give it one like mark.
Okay.
Just from the first time I saw it, it was the deer. Oh, the deer. Cause if you watch it, it like has like, I noticed around the edges just for a split second, the deer just kind of had this like very like, oh, that's fake. And I don't know if it's just the show and they just don't know how to do deer, but it was, it was much better than the child's, like, you know, attempt at it. So
it could have potentially been a bad deer. Maybe
it might have. Could have
two bad deers.
But I noticed it right off the bat. I was like, oh.
Yeah.
CG deer in the new filming category at this point. I wouldn't be surprised if it switched completely to digital now. Now that they got new producers, new camera people.
And I think it's the way everything's going now. It may be even cost prohibitive to keep doing it with film. So, like, all the shows, in fact, most of the movies these days are shot on digital. So, it just makes sense to transition. I'm surprised they haven't done it earlier than this. Hmm. Okay, so final thoughts before we talk about it in more detail in next week. Mark?
I'm just glad it's coming back.
Me too.
I'm just glad. I'm happy. Me too. It's a breath of fresh air after dealing with Fear all summer, and it's been way too long.
Yeah, and I have enough what sauces and weak sauces to talk about tonight that I could practically open up a sauce company. Yeah. And on the whole, you know, although, like I say, this is just on first watch and only being able to watch it on my phone. And, you know, last season was kind of tough for me, Mark, you know this, but, you know, I didn't take Rick, you know, going off the show too well. And because he was always my favorite character. And it took me a while before, you know, I started, you know, getting used to it. And I didn't exactly like the season finale, if you recall.
Yeah, they should have left it off to the second to last episode and left it at that.
Yeah. But I'm very happy to see it back and looking forward to covering it over the next couple of months. So until it comes back in February or whenever it does. But yeah. So if you are listening to this, you will still be able to send us in feedback for our episode 100, which is the longest time to get to 100 in the history of podcasting, because of course our fear episodes are named separately. But why don't we just, Kyle, since you're used to doing the how can you contact us kind of thing, why don't you take us, if you don't recognize Kyle, by the way, Kyle is he's our behind the scenes guy, but he's also our co-host on Fear. So, and I don't know how often you're going to join us for The Walking Dead, but you're welcome. Any weeks and all weeks
here and there.
Great. All right. So anyway, how can people get a hold of us?
Well, the best way to interact with us is we encourage you to first follow us on Twitter, and you can follow us at Walking Dead GSM. You can also submit your theories and feedback, and most people post in our designated episode thread that's in our Facebook group, and you can find that at facebook.com/groups/WalkingDeadGSM. We also like to encourage you to use our new email addresses, and the first one is walkingdead@talkthroughmedia.com. That is our new network email for this show. So you can send everything there. And also the one we've always had, walkingdeadgsm@gmail.com. That still works. We get everything pretty much through them all. We've got them all linked up. So as long as you're sending to one of those, you know, we will get your feedback. We also on our site have a new feedback form, and it is at talkthroughmedia.com/feedback. You can also attach, like if you record your own like voicemail, if you don't leave one through our phone, you can attach them there and we'll get them and just leave all your feedback. You can also call us at 216-232-6146. That is our main number. And the deadline for the next episode is going to be set for a regular day and time, 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Central on Tuesday, October 8th. And do check out our network's page, and that's at facebook.com/talkthroughmedia. Like it, share it. You can post reviews. You can, you know, we pretty much post everything that we do on the network there. So if you're following us on other, you know, podcasts, you'll find everything there too.
And while we've been away, we have started a Patreon, since this seems to be my go-to this week. But yes, we finally have started a Patreon, and we will be doing some episodes over the, I'd say, about one a month, just getting that going. So we just started it. It's at patreon.com/walkingdeadtalkthrough. We would like to thank our Patreon supporters that have already signed up, Steve Brown, Alex Baelish, and Lawrence Todd. And remember to share our posts on Facebook and Twitter when we post them, and tell a friend. That helps get the word of mouth out there, because that will help us get new listeners, and we like new listeners. Subscribe to us in Apple Podcasts or the podcast client of your choice. And while you're there, give us a rating or review if your podcast client allows those things. Of course, Apple Podcasts does, and a few others do as well. And Talk Through Media is our new website. We are still working on it. And been a little issue that I've been trying to correct with the player not showing up all the time on the episodes. But if you go to like just the main page of talkthroughmedia.com, you can play all the episodes there. Hopefully I will get that corrected. Probably by the time you hear this, it'll be corrected already. And just quickly, we are starting a new podcast, Ruthie and I, covering Star Trek Picard. And that you will also be able to get on the website. In the first episode, we will be recording an episode Saturday night after the announcements from New York Comic Con. So our first episode hopefully will be out sometime next week. So, and then of course, Star Trek Discovery podcast as well. We'll be releasing that episode that Ruthie and I record Saturday night to both podcasts. And we're looking forward to that because Picard is has been a big part of my life. as it has all. But anyway, Mark, Panels Pixels.
Oh, yeah. Steve and I will be finished up with Preacher. So the season finale hit, and we are happy with the outcome because it was another palate cleanser after Fear. We had a great time. So actually, we're recording ours this Thursday, so we're doing this on a Tuesday. So
yeah,
right now. So Steve and I haven't had a chance to actually record yet. So, but after that, we'll do a movie review. I already spoke about The Crow, and then after that would be The Watchmen on HBO.
So if you would like to get in feedback for this episode, Season 10, Episode 1, Lines We Cross, you will be able to get that in by Tuesday, 6 p.m., like we said earlier. And we will do an episode covering your feedback and any reactions that you have to this episode or the Fear season finale episode on that episode as well. So get your feedback in, but you'll get a double shot of us this week. So until next time, I'm Brian.
And I'm Kyle.
And I'm Mark.
And this is The Walking Dead Talk Through. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.